Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Morning. Welcome to worship today. We're going to start off with announcements, then joys and concerns. I want to make an announcement about worship next week. Next Sunday is World Communion Sunday, and we are going to start receiving communion up front at the chancel rail next week. We'll use the little individual cups, and I will break the bread off. I'll wear gloves and be masked at that point in time. But I just wanted to give you all a heads up so that you will be prepared for that's how we will be receiving communion. Any other announcements? And we do want to welcome those who are joining us online this morning as we begin our service in a time of prayer. And I would ask if you would, please, in body, mind, and spirit, to enter into God's presence in a special way. Gracious, loving God, we do give you our praise this morning as we worship you. We pray that you will be here in our midst, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, and strengthen us and renew us to do the work of your church. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who we lift up in prayer request, those who are sick and ill, who are in hospital right now and are in need of healing. We pray that you will be with them, touch them, guide doctors and nurses and therapists to know exactly what needs to be done. Lord, for those who have lost loved ones and who are grieving this day, we pray for your comfort and your peace to be there in an extra special way. May your people gather around them and hold them up and support them. Again, Lord, as we come into your presence to worship you, we give you our thanks and we give you our praise in the name of the one who came to die for us, your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
If you're able, please rise for the call to worship. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord.
Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey.
You cannot serve God and riches, for if you love the one, you will hate the other.
We will serve the Lord with gladness, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever.
Come, let us worship the Lord God Almighty.
This morning's anthem is
kind of like a prayer, I would say. Just beautiful text to this anthem. So I just wanted to highlight a little bit of the beginning to just bring it to your mind as you're listening to this anthem. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I would gracious be. Help me now thy grace to see. Oh, I would be like thee. And with words that help and heal, thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, for Christ my Savior speak. We hope that this anthem will speak to you this morning. It is purchased in memory of Doris Blakely with funds that were donated at her passing. And so we dedicate this to her.
God of grace and compassion, show us how to love and help others, just as you love and help us each day.
Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I would gracious be. Help me now thy grace to see.
God of truth and wisdom, create in us a clean heart and make our lives a reflection of your holiness.
Truthful Spirit, dwell with me. I would truthful be. Help me now thy truth to see. Oh, I would be like thee.
God of mercy and forgiveness, teach us to speak as you speak, serve as you serve, and give as you give.
Holy Spirit, dwell with me. I will only be. Show thy mercy tenderly. Oh, make me more.
Timothy to preserve the Christian faith by teaching sound doctrine and modeling right living. Timothy had to oppose false teachers who were leading church members away from their belief in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, most people still believe that money brings happiness. How can we stay away from the love of money? Paul gives us some guidelines. Listen to the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10 in the New International Version. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a trap, and onto many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
You know, back at the turn of the century, you know, and it's kind of strange to think that the turn of the century was just 22 years ago. But at the turn of the century, a group of archaeologists and anthropologists from UCLA undertook a study of 32 middle-class families in California. They wanted to look at how people were using their house space. They went with every room, every closet, looked at every shelf in those homes, taking pictures and writing things down. And this was done over the course of 10 years. And the results were published in a book titled Life at Home in the 21st Century. Jean Arnold, who was one of the researchers, wrote this: "Contemporary U.S. households have more possessions per household than any other society in global history." Her colleague, also in the book, wrote that most homes reflect this material abundance. And he wrote, "Hyperconsumerism is evidence in many spaces, like garages, corners of home offices, even sometimes in the corners of living rooms and bedrooms." One of the things they found was 3/4 of these households, their garages didn't have cars in them because there were too many boxes. One household actually had 600 boxes in their garage. Another observation they made was this one: the United States has 3.1% of the world's children, but they consume 40% of the world's toys. It seems obvious to me that the push to become a consumer, to value stuff, starts at a very early age. Now, if you think the desire for stuff is only for the young, consider this. In 1977, Sandra Eileen West, a flamboyant Beverly Hills oil heiress, died and was buried in her baby blue 1964 Ferrari. Her grave is next to her husband in the Alamo Masonic Cemetery in San Antonio, and it has become a tourist attraction. But she is not the only person to be buried in her car. There have been several others. One by the name of Aurora Shuck died in 1989, and she was buried in her 1976 Cadillac Eldorado convertible. The top was down, and the coffin was placed in the rear seat of the Cadillac. It took 16 grave sites to bury the car. We like our stuff. Sometimes about 2,000 years before Jesus, so about 4,000 years ago, God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. You can find them in Exodus chapter 20, which I'm going to read from right now. Here are the first two. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Now, I would venture a guess, if you asked any one of those family members of those 32 families that the UCLA study did, "Do you worship items?" they would say, "Of course not. We don't worship idols." But let's consider what an idol is. An idol is anything that you worship or are devoted to more than you are devoted to the Lord God who gave us those Ten Commandments. An idol is anything or anyone who we place before the Lord God, that we would serve before we serve God. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. We read it this past Sunday. "No servant can serve two masters. The servant will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches." I would venture a guess that the most misquoted verse in all of the Bible is one that Don just read for us this morning. The usual verse that people say in the Bible is this: "Money is the root of all evil. But what does the English translation say? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Or a single word that could be translated there is greed. Greed is the root of all kinds of evil. See, money of and by itself is not a bad thing. Having possessions is not a bad thing. They are tools that can be used for either good or for bad. They become evil when our devotion to them, money or things, becomes more important to us than God does. See, there's the problem with materialism. I want to consider the families in that UCLA book. See, our culture pushes us to become consumers. It pushes us to value stuff, and it starts at a very early age. Valuing stuff is also known as materialism. And there's a problem with materialism, and God has been warning us about it for thousands of years. Old Testament book Ecclesiastes, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. See, materialism makes us think that we never have enough. That's one of the problems with it. Now, we all know in our head, money cannot buy us happiness, right? But we certainly feel if we just had a couple of $1 million, we could sure try being happy. But you know what? Even the rich aren't happy. A few years ago, the Center on Wealth and Philanthropy, I didn't even know there was one, at Boston College conducted a survey. They surveyed 165 households that had a worth of $25 million or more. And what came through from most of these people surveyed was that while they had lots of freedom of time and had lots of choices in life because of their money, they were also very anxious. And they were very overwhelmed about, am I making the right decisions? One respondent said, you can just buy so much stuff. And when you get to the point where you can just buy so much stuff, you ask, now what are you going to do? See, that leads to another problem with materialism. It can cause you to make bad decisions. Again, reading from Ecclesiastes, it says, there is a grievous ill that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. For some people, having too much stuff and too much money leads to making those bad decisions. Going back to that woman who was buried in her Ferrari, she started to date a man by the name of Saul West, whose family was big in the oil business in Texas. But she left him for his brother when she found out that the brother was the true heir to the family business. She married Ike West, who at the time had a history of drug abuse but was clean at the moment. They moved to Beverly Hills, where they started to get into the lifestyle of the rich and famous of the 1960s. He died in 1968, leaving her wealthy and with her own drug habit. And she died at the age of 38. See, materialism can lead to us making bad decisions. That's what we read there in 1 Timothy. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Greed, the want for more stuff. It can sidetrack us from living the life that God desires. At its worst, it will destroy us. Money by itself is not bad. Money is a tool. But when we use it the wrong way, it ruins us. It's like that with food. Food is not bad. We need it to live. But when we eat too much of it, it can hurt our health. Worldly riches become our idol when we love them, when we are devoted to them more than to God. And it hurts us, and it can destroy our soul. So how do we keep from making an idol in our life, making stuff an idol? I would suggest we need to understand a spiritual discipline that is not talked about very much. We need to learn contentment. We need to have a mindset that says, all that I have is all that I need. Look at what we read this morning. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In the Greek, the word for contentment implies a detachment from things. So I want to consider three ways that we can practice contentment in our lives. And the first is decide to be content. Decide. Consider what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. We have been given the ability, by God's grace, to choose who we will serve, God or riches. Now, I like the way the J.B. Phillips translation did that verse in Timothy. They went this way. There is a real profit, of course, but it comes only to those who live contentedly as God would have them live. The way to start living a contented life is by choosing to live the way that God wants us to live, not the way we want to live. In his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul said this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here is his key to how to live contentedly. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. When we choose to follow Jesus, when we make his lifestyle our lifestyle, his spirit gives us the strength that we need to be contented. Next thing we need to do is we need to live a simpler life. Just as much as I love a good T-bone steak, I can be just as contented eating a hamburger or meatloaf. Kathy and I can have fun, maybe even more fun, sitting with our friends and playing cards than we can spending $10 per ticket at the movies. You know, one day Jesus said this to his disciples, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." If we want to live contented, godly lives, then we need to choose to live a simpler life, one without an abundance of possessions. John Kenneth Galbraith made a point in his book. The book is Economics and the Public Purpose. And he said that the American economy no longer operates on the principle of supply and demand. Supply and demand is, I want something, somebody's talented enough to make it, and they make it, and I buy it. You know, there's a demand for it, so they supply it. Kenneth Galbraith says, no, the way corporations work today is, they manufacture a product, they decide how much profit they want out of that, and then they proceed to market it to us. See, successful marketing means they entice us by advertisements. They try to convince us we need that product and we cannot live a good life without it. We're being sold on the idea that we have to have a full life, it has to be filled with stuff. So living a simpler life is recognizing there are things that you are being told to buy that you just don't need. To be contented in this life means we choose Jesus and we live a simple Christ-like life. And here's the third thing we need. We need to increase our giving. You know, for almost 40 years, we have come to know that we need individual retirement account. We need an IRA because we've realized that Social Security won't give us enough money to keep us going in the lifestyles that we have come accustomed to. So we set aside part of our earnings to fund our retirement, which is a good thing. But let us consider what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I'll tell you, in my 25 years as a pastor, I have never heard a local church or an annual conference say something like this, "How can we keep all of this offerings for ourselves?" Any local congregation I've been involved with, the annual conference here, any part of the church, the body of Christ that I have ever talked to or been a part of, seeks to take and to use the money that they are given, and they use it for the mission of God. There are needs beyond our local community that need to be taken care of, and when we give God's work our money, we're saying,
Here's my heart. My heart is in the mission of God. So we give to support the work of God, even when we can't be there. So by giving, we're seeking to live a contented life. We're told, godliness with contentment is great gain. We find contentment when we follow Jesus and walk in his ways. Next sentence after our reading says how to live the way of Jesus. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. When those goals are our life's goals, not pursuing more stuff, we will find godly contentment. Thanks be to God.
Please take your hymnal, and we're going to sing our closing hymn, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Now, following the way of Christ, shining his light and his love into a dark world, bring God's grace and bring God glory as you go forth. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.